This week, we're looking at the housing affordability crisis sweeping many cities across the country. And it's not just New York and San Francisco. In mid-sized cities, especially across the West, home ownership is increasingly out of reach. We're going to be looking at markets in Utah, Montana, and New Mexico where prices are at record highs. But first, we're going to get the big picture from Chris Herbert. He's managing director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. Chris, welcome. And what is the state of housing, generally speaking, across the country?
You know, I think one of the biggest, most salient features of the housing market right now across the country is the lack of supply. As we've come out of the recession, the first few years, household growth, the rate at which people were forming independent households, was slow. Housing construction was obviously slow as well. But since, the last 5 years, the rate at which people are moving out, forming independent households, looking for housing has really picked up. And we're now running nationally at a rate of about 1.4 million a year. Hmm. And we're just not building that much housing. So last year, we built 1.2 million housing units, not enough to keep up with that demand. And that's putting up great pressure on housing prices.
Why can't we just build more?
You know, there's a host of reasons. One of them has to do with the fact that the lack of labor. So contractors looking for people to, you know, frame houses, hang drywall, do all that. There's not as many workers out there. Another big piece of it has to do with land markets, how hard it is to get a housing development approved, and where you can build the kind of high-density housing that people today are looking for.
And land's expensive, too.
Land is very expensive.
I've been looking at states in the Mountain West. Places like Boise, Idaho, Missoula, Montana, Santa Fe, New Mexico, all of these places are facing record high median housing prices. And I'm not sure I understand why. You know, is this something that's happening all over the country or is something going on specifically in the Mountain West?
A little bit of both. And so I would say, you know, as we were just describing, there's been this enormous increase in demand. Supply is lagged. That's true across the country. So part of what's happening in these markets is that the challenge for developers to keep up with that growth and demand. And in those states in particular, those markets you talked about, are places where there's an enormous increase in demand in particular because they're healthy economies and beautiful places to live.
Well, and plus, are people from other cities like San Francisco, Seattle, really expensive cities kind of moving into these places and changing the market dynamics?
They are in part. I mean, people are definitely flocking there. Some of them are coming from those West Coast cities. Some are coming from elsewhere. If you look at the employment, particularly in Utah and in Nevada, the share of jobs that are in the tech sector is high and growing. Those are some of the places where tech jobs have been growing the fastest over the last 8 years. And so that's boosting demand by people who are making good salaries.
Huh. The Santa Fe New Mexican newspaper pointed out earlier this year that a person earning the city's median salary, $44,000 a year, would have to use 57% of their income to pay the mortgage on a median-priced home. That sounds like a problem, right?
That is a problem. And it's a problem both because try to find a bank who will make you a loan where they're going to have to take that much of your income to get that loan. And the other part of it is coming up with a down payment. And that increasingly is an issue in more and more of these states where house prices are outstripping incomes, making it harder to qualify and much harder to save.
And why can't we just build more affordable housing? We talked about some of the reasons why it's hard to build, generally speaking. But why is it so hard to build affordable housing?
Well, you know, you mentioned land prices, and I think you really have to start there. And so when you're talking about what does it cost you for a piece of dirt that you're going to be able to put a house on, and depends on what market you're in, that might start at $100,000, $200,000. And then if you add on to that some of the impact fees that places are putting on, you haven't even put a brick or a piece of wood yet, and you've already got a house that's kind of out of reach for a lot of people.
Impact fees are the fees that cities put on developers to pay for things like roads and sewers, that sort of thing.
And schools and all that.
Right. Well, I spoke, in fact, to the mayor of Reno, Nevada in October, who was trying to spur the permitting of 1,000 new homes in 120 days by delaying some of those impact fees. And it does seem like cities in states across the country are trying to, like, you know, shift policy a little bit like that. To your mind, what works? What would be good policy to help this move along?
Well, certainly, I think cities have to take a look at the entire process for getting land approved for housing. How difficult is that? How much do developers have to spend in legal fees and others to get through that process? And in particular, what we need now is to make better use of land. And so that means higher density housing. Mm-hmm. Now, doesn't have to be high-rise apartment buildings, but if you think about homes that are single-family homes on smaller lots, townhouses, we need what a lot of people refer to as the missing middle housing. So rather than just single-family homes and giant apartment buildings, we need things in between that are more efficient use of land and can be more affordable.
But developers don't want to build those?
Developers would love to build those, but cities have been very restrictive on where they allow that kind of housing to happen.
Mm-hmm. What's it going to take to bring this back into equilibrium, these sky-high record housing prices in cities that frankly don't seem like they should be that expensive? Do you foresee some sort of correction or even a crash in the housing market?
Well, the supply side issues that we've been talking about are difficult. And so the fact that land prices have gone up, the fact that the regulatory process makes it difficult to build, those things are going to be difficult to unwind. The point that may lead to the breaking point is if it becomes so unaffordable that people can't afford to buy those homes, then that will take the winds out of the sail of the market and lead to a fall in prices.
Hmm.
And ultimately, to the extent that that helps bring land prices down, that could be a good thing. But it's going to mean a lot of pain for people who have already bought at those higher prices.
That's Chris Herbert. He's managing director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. Thanks so much for joining us in the studio today.
It was great to be with you.
And Chris mentioned tech jobs coming to Utah. Well, the median price of a single-family home in Salt Lake County hit an all-time high this year. It's now above $381,000. And state lawmakers are considering a plan to help people pay their rent as prices soar. Jacob Anderegg is one of the lawmakers proposing that plan. He's a Republican in the state Senate and co-chair of Utah's Commission on Housing Affordability. Jacob, what's driving the cost of housing so high?
We have had such phenomenal growth rates over the last two decades. We've seen the emergence of the Silicon Slopes with a lot of the companies from Silicon Valley relocating here. And I added about 25,000 new residents to my Senate district last year. I'm going to add more than that this year. So it's a significant problem.
But are salaries for all these new jobs, I guess, if they even exist, are they going up to match home prices?
They are, but not nearly as fast. If you're a transplant, you've got these Silicon Valley companies coming here to Utah and they're transplanting people, and these transplants are getting paid on average about 380% of average salary wage in Utah County. And that's creating a significant problem because someone will sell their, sixth of an acre in the Bay Area for $2.5 million. They'll come here, they'll see a half acre of land in Lehigh, and they'll go, $500,000? Great.
That's nothing.
Yeah, we jump on it.
So that's driving prices up.
Oh, for sure. If you're a developer and a landowner, you're going to want to maximize your returns. So absolutely. It's making it so that especially like college grads, newlyweds, they're finding themselves having to leave the state.
Okay, so you've got an idea. You've got this bill that would create a state voucher program that would help low and moderate income residents pay their rent, people who are not getting these new Silicon Valley type jobs. How would it help? How would that program help?
Well, the biggest issue that we're facing here is an ounce of prevention is worth 10 pounds of intervention. If we can spend $150 to $500 a month on a family being able to stay in their home, that is a fraction of the cost of what it takes for a family to be housed at the homeless shelters. So we're focusing on a multifaceted bill that will provide about $15 million of gap funding for the development of new units. Another $5 million would be for a matching component along infrastructure, let's say transit-oriented developments.
Mm-hmm.
Then a $10 million infusion for rental assistance, and then an additional $5 million for people that have children that are primary-aged kids that would qualify for McKinney-Vento, the federal program. We're trying to just help prevent people who are either homeless or on the verge of being homeless to just stay in their homes.
Yeah, I'm doing the math. It sounds like somewhere between $20 to $35 million. I just wonder if that's – is that enough?
Well, it's not, but it's a huge start. Our ongoing infusion of capital on an annual basis has been about $2 million is all. So this is a huge shot in the arm. This would be a big step forward, but it's certainly not going to solve the problem. I'm a conservative Republican, so I don't know that government's going to necessarily solve this problem, but we certainly have a role to play, and we can certainly make sure that we're doing our part, especially with those that are in the most difficult circumstances.
You know, your state has a fund that helps developers build affordable housing, and I see that it ran out of cash by the middle of the year.
So our fiscal cycle starts July 1.
Oh, so it ran out like 2 weeks after it started.
It ran out in 4 days.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of where we're at. The demand is there. It's just we have yet not really, as a state, stepped up to the plate to take on this issue, and that's what we're trying to do.
What's at stake for people in Utah if you can't figure this out?
Well, I mean, what's at stake is either we step up to the plate and we figure out a funding path that can actually start chipping away at this, or we're going to see ourselves having to do emergency funding for more homeless shelter construction, quite literally. I mean, Utah just set up and have just built 3 homeless shelter resource centers. I'm of the mindset that we've got to help prevent more people, more families from becoming homeless, and it's a heck of a lot less expensive to do it through rental assistance than it is by building new shelters and everything that goes along with it.
So there you go. There's a side effect of these rising home prices, people becoming homeless. They can't afford to live in your area. That's Senator Jacob Anderegg, a Republican in the Utah State Senate. He's one of the lawmakers proposing a new rental assistance program in the state as it deals with this rising cost of housing. Senator, thanks very much for talking to us about it.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
And tomorrow, we'll go a little further north to get the view from Missoula, Montana.